So what if I told you that like 80% of the time you spend looking at a trading chart, the market is actively trying to trick you?
Yeah, it's literally trying to get you to make a terrible move.
Exactly. I mean, as a new trader, stepping into the market for the first time, it feels exactly like walking into a chaotic, incredibly noisy casino, flashing lights, numbers moving at light speed.
Right, and that sinking feeling that the house always, always wins.
Yeah, but the chaos you're seeing is actually a highly orchestrated trap. So today we're bringing you a deep dive into a comprehensive 15-point professional trading methodology.
And our mission here is to really demystify how the so-called smart money operates, right? We want to give you a practical step-by-step framework to actually survive and thrive.
And we are skipping all the dense financial jargon. We're getting straight to the actionable mathematical edge that you can use to navigate this crazy environment.
Because the true value of the source material we're looking at today, it isn't just in memorizing a few chart setups. It's really about understanding the underlying psychology of the market machinery.
Yeah, the psychology is huge.
It is, because you are stepping into an arena to compete against the smartest people in the world, and they are armed with highly sophisticated
Oh,
algorithms.
absolutely.
So doing what the majority of retail traders do just guarantees failure. To win, you have to fundamentally change how you view your time, how you structure your risk, and, well, how you perceive the way institutional money actually hunts for liquidity.
Okay, let's unpack this. I think we need to tackle the time aspect first, because before we look at a single chart, we have to address like the number one reason new traders fail.
Right, which surprisingly has nothing to do with technical analysis.
No, not at all. There's this massive myth out there of the paid by the hour day trader. People think if they're just sitting in front of their screens for 8 hours, clicking buttons, constantly flipping between going long and going short.
Like they're punching a clock.
Exactly. Like they're putting in the hard work and the market will eventually pay them for that effort. But this methodology explicitly states the exact opposite. True profitability is actually found on the sidelines.
Yeah, what's fascinating here is that the source material breaks down the actual mathematics of market movement. They reference a famous Paul Tudor Jones concept.
Oh, yeah, the 20% rule.
Right, the market only trends about 20% of the time. The other 80% of the time, the market is just chopping around in a tight range.
It's just moving sideways.
Exactly. These are poor, essentially unactionable trading conditions. If you're sitting there forcing trades during that 80%, you are going to get chopped to pieces by algorithmic high-frequency trading.
Yeah, it's brutal.
So the ideal schedule outlined in this strategy is astonishingly brief. You're aiming for 1 to 3 trades maximum per day. That is it.
Wow, just 1 to 3.
Yep. And you're focusing almost entirely on the early morning window, specifically between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. Once you have a winning trade, the blueprint tells you to literally shut your trading platform down.
You just sit on your hands.
You sit on your hands. You do not try to squeeze a second trade out of the afternoon chop.
But I mean, I have to push back a little here because that feels completely counterintuitive. Isn't sitting on your hands incredibly boring?
Oh, it's excruciatingly boring for most people.
Right. If I only spend 30 minutes actually in a trade, am I really working? In almost every other aspect of life, effort equals reward.
I know, it feels wrong to us because we're so conditioned by traditional jobs to exchange our time for a paycheck. But in the markets, you're compensated for your discipline, not your activity level.
Okay, that makes sense.
The strategy emphasizes aiming for what they call base hits. We're talking about consistent 10 to 15 point games. You aren't swinging for the fences and hoping for a lottery picket home run on every single trade.
Yeah, it's like a sniper waiting hours for a single perfect shot. Whereas new traders act like machine gunners, just firing at everything that moves and running out of ammo.
That is a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
If you do the math on a conservative 15-point average daily gain, and you let that compound over a year, I mean, the wealth generation is staggering.
Right.
But the primary barrier to that wealth isn't a lack of technical knowledge. It's conquering FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Yeah, the urge to just impulse trade.
Exactly. Taking trades out of boredom or greed is what destroys the gains you make from your high-quality setups. Anyone can learn to spot a pattern. Very few people can master the boredom of waiting for it to appear.
So what does this all mean for managing the trade once you're actually in it? Because waiting for the perfect spot is great, but a good entry is completely useless if you just give all the money right back.
Oh, absolutely.
The methodology lays down a golden rule here, right? You must take your trades level to level.
Yes. If we connect this to the bigger picture, Amateur trading is about predicting where price will go. Professional trading is purely about reacting to price action level by level.
Because price rarely moves in a straight line, right?
Never. It takes the most convoluted, trap-filled path possible to get from point A to point B. If you try to predict a massive long-term target while you're day trading, the math shows that 90% of your winning trades will eventually go from green to red.
You'll be up 10 points and you'll hold out for 50 because you think you caught the big trend.
Right. And then you will literally watch the market crash right back through your entry price. You're competing against algorithms coded by PhDs.
All right.
If you try to predict, you fall right into their web.
Okay, so to remove that urge to predict, the methodology uses a very specific mathematical framework. It's called the 75-25 system.
Right.
So whenever you enter a trade, you are mandated to lock in 75% of your profits at the very first major resistance level.
Yep, pay yourself first.
Yeah, like if you bought four contracts, you sell three of them the second it hits that first target. Then you leave that remaining 25% as a runner, and you move your stop loss to your break-even point.
It's brilliant when you break down the math of it.
It really is. Yeah. By taking that initial profit, you've essentially funded your account for the day. Even if the market violently reverses and stops out your runner at break even, you still walk away green.
Yeah, it turns that last 25% into a free lottery ticket.
Exactly. It's a completely stress-free ride. You already paid yourself, so the rest is just, you know, waiting to see if you hit a jackpot.
And it removes the emotional weight from the trade entirely. You have to remember, you're up against algorithms using cutting-edge machine learning. They have deeply verified statistical edges designed to shake out weak hands.
Right.
So by taking majority profits at the first level and leaving a risk-free runner, you insulate yourself from their psychological games. You are just reacting mechanically.
But reacting mechanically requires incredibly strict rules around how we handle losses, too. The methodology is super firm that you never, ever use an arbitrary stop loss.
No arbitrary numbers, exactly.
Like, you don't just say, oh, I'm going to risk 5 points because five sounds like a nicely contained number. You have to place your stops below actual technical support levels on the chart.
Right.
And the blueprint suggests giving the trade a maximum of 15 points of space to work. But I gotta ask, giving a trade 15 points of space feels really risky. Isn't that exposing way too much of my capital compared to a tight 5-point stop?
That's a huge misconception.
Huh.
A wider stop does not equate to a larger financial risk, because risk is a function of your position size, not just the width of your stop.
Oh, okay.
You manage your financial exposure by adjusting how many contracts or shares you buy. So if your account rules say you can only risk $150 on a trade, you don't use a 5-point stop on multiple contracts.
You use a 15-point stop on a single contract.
Exactly. The actual dollar amount at risk is exactly the same. The critical difference is that the 15-point stop gives the market the room it actually needs to breathe.
It's like fishing. You know, if you put a massive fish on a really tight 5-foot line, the second it thrashes, the line snaps and you lose the fish. Or in this case, you get stopped out.
That's a great way to look at it.
But if you give it 15 feet of line, you give the fish enough slack to exhaust itself, you stay in the game.
Right.
But setting a wider 15-point stop assumes you are entering the trade at the right time in the first place. If 80% of the market is just chop and noise, how do you know when a sudden drop is an actual crash versus an algorithm just trying to trigger everyone's stop losses?
To answer that, we really have to look for where the institutional money is hiding. And this is the core of the strategy.
Right.
The primary setup in this entire methodology accounts for 70% of its entries. And it relies on a very specific institutional mechanism known as a liquidity grab.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because I'm looking at this blueprint and it's telling me to do something that feels incredibly reckless. The bread and butter setup is called the failed breakdown.
Yes.
It literally tells you to watch a major support level fail, watch the price drop, and then buy it. Wait, so the strategy is to literally look for a breakdown and do the exact opposite of what the chart is telling you to do.
I know it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But to understand the mechanics of this, you have to view the order book through the eyes of an institution.
Okay.
If a massive fund needs to buy tens of thousands of shares of an asset, they can't just click buy at market price. The order is too massive.
It would instantly consume all the available sellers.
Right. And the price would skyrocket, leaving the fund with a terrible average entry price. So to enter a huge position, they need massive liquidity.
Right.
They need an ocean of willing sellers.
Okay.
And the absolute best way to manufacture a tidal wave of sellers is to purposely push the price right below a major obvious support level.
So what does this trap actually look like in the wild, like on the chart?
It starts with a massive, obvious V-shaped low on the chart. This isn't a tiny wiggle. It's a major pivot point where a previous pullback ended and a strong rally began.
Right, a clear line in the sand that every single trader is watching.
Exactly. And it has to be at a technically significant spot, like a major trend line or prior breakout area. Then the trap is sprung. The price comes back down and aggressively flushes below that V-shaped low.
And when that floor falls out, two things happen simultaneously. First, you have all the new retail traders who see the breakdown, they experience intense FOMO, and aggressively short the market because they think it's the start of a massive crash.
Yep, they jump right in.
Second, you have all the retail traders who were already long, who prudently place their stop-loss orders right below that obvious V-shaped low. When the price hits those stops, they're automatically converted into sell orders.
So suddenly, the market is flooded with sell orders. And that panic is the cheap liquidity the institutions were hunting for. They step in and quietly absorb all those sell orders. The retail traders chase the breakdown, and then the institutions violently reverse the price, aggressively squeezing it back up and leaving all those short sellers deeply trapped.
It's basically a financial judo move. You're using the momentum and the panic of the retail crowd against them.
That's exactly what it is.
But obviously, you can't just blindly buy the dip the second it drops. I mean, jumping in front of a falling knife is how you blow up an account.
No, you absolutely cannot. And this raises an important question. How do you know it's a trap? That brings us to the crucial mechanical pivot of this setup. It's called acceptance.
Okay, acceptance.
You wait for the price to reclaim that initial V-shaped low, proving that the breakdown was indeed a fake-out. But reclaiming the line isn't enough. You must see the market structurally accept that level.
So how does acceptance actually work on a mechanical level? Like, what am I looking for?
Acceptance is the visual proof on the chart that the institutions have finished absorbing the panic selling and are now actively defending that price level.
Okay.
It means the price reclaims the old support, might dip down to test it from above, and definitively holds. Or it pushes through, briefly sells off, and instantly recovers again. The order flow shows that buyers are stepping in every time it ticks down.
What if it doesn't do that?
If the price just slowly hovers a few pennies above the line, bleeding downward, that is not acceptance. The trap hasn't cleared. If you rush in before visual proof of defense, you become the liquidity.
Oh, wow. So letting the market show its hand before risking a single dollar, that makes perfect sense for traps.
Absolutely.
But sometimes a crash is a legitimate crash. Not every breakdown is a fake out, and the market isn't always trying to trap you. What if a breakout or a breakdown is actually real?
Well, a new trader needs to know how to handle different environments to survive. And this is where the methodology expands the toolkit. When a price legitimately breaks out of a major zone with heavy momentum, it rarely just goes straight up forever. There's a strong structural tendency for the price to return and test that original breakout zone.
Yeah.
This is called the backtest entry.
Okay.
And buying that very first retest is a high probability setup.
The analogy that comes to mind here is a criminal returning to the scene of the crime. The market makes this massive, violent move, but it almost feels compelled to go back and validate what it just did.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It has to touch base with that old resistance level and prove that it's now acting as solid support before it can confidently move higher.
Right. But the source material is very clear. This really only works best on the first retest. By the second or third time the criminal goes back to the scene, the odds of getting caught, or in this case, the support failing, go up exponentially.
Which naturally leads to the most difficult setup in the toolkit, right? The breakdown short.
Yes. The blueprint issues a severe warning here. Shorting a breakdown has an incredibly low win rate, precisely because most breakdowns are traps designed to steal your money.
Yeah.
If you are going to take a breakdown short, you absolutely must see the market prove it's exhausted. You want to see the price bounce off a support multiple times, completely eating up all the buying demand.
Or better yet, you wait for a failed breakdown to happen first.
Exactly. Let the trap trigger, let the buyers fail to push it higher, and then short it when that support finally gives way.
So knowing when to hunt for a trap versus when to play a clean breakout, it relies entirely on understanding the broader context of the market. And the methodology simplifies this by categorizing the market into two endless cycles, mode one and mode two.
Mode one is the trend. This is when one side, either buyers or sellers, is clearly in control. Pullbacks are shallow, and price moves cleanly through multiple levels.
But remember the market math we discussed earlier. Mode 1 is rare.
Very rare. It makes up less than 20% of the action.
And mode 2 is the chop. This is where you will spend the vast majority of your life as a trader.
Unfortunately, yes.
The capital just isn't there to push a major trend. So the algorithms ping-pong the price between recent highs and lows, generating small profits off the spread. Bulls and bears are basically balanced, and the action is defined by traps, indecision, and a total lack of follow-through.
And the danger of mode two is a psychological trap called flipping.
Oh, flipping is the worst.
It is. A new trader buys at support, the price breaks slightly, and their tight stop gets hit. Out of sheer frustration, they instantly flip their position and go short, assuming a trend has started.
And then they watch the market instantly reverse and stop them out again.
Exactly. They get chewed up by the trap. Recognizing that you are in mode two dictates your entire approach. It means you sit back, you wait for the failed breakdowns, you manage your trades level to level, and you never flip your bias on a dime out of emotion.
So that discipline is the ultimate edge. What does this all mean for you, the listener, as you step into this arena? First, you have to accept that there are no shortcuts to screen time.
Not at all.
You need to internalize these patterns. You have to master the excruciating boredom of the sidelines, waiting for your specific setup in that morning window.
You also have to relentlessly protect your capital by managing your trades level to level. Lock in that 75%, leave the runner, and never let a winning trade turn into a loser.
Right. Stop trying to predict the exact long-term path of the market and start reacting to the structural traps.
Yeah.
Look for those V-shaped lows. Wait for the terrifying flush and only enter when the market clearly demonstrates acceptance.
You really don't need to win every trade. You don't need to catch every massive move. You just need a consistent math-based edge.
Yeah, hit those 10 to 15 point base hits and let the power of compounding build transformative wealth over time. Don't be the gambler in the casino. Read the blueprint, spot the orchestrated trap, and let the smart money do the heavy lifting for you.
And that leaves us with one final very provocative thought to consider.
What's that?
Well, we've spent this entire deep dive discussing how institutional algorithms built by PhDs are designed to create these liquidity traps to prey on retail traders.
Right.
But the technological landscape is shifting incredibly fast.
Okay, yeah.
As artificial intelligence and advanced machine learning become increasingly accessible to the everyday person, a new dynamic is emerging. Will retail traders soon have their own personal algorithms? Tools capable of instantly scanning thousands of order books and spotting these traps the microsecond they show acceptance.
Wow, that's a wild thought.
Right. If retail money can suddenly see the traps as clearly as the institutions setting them, will this democratize the market and level the playing field once and for all? Or, faced with an untrappable retail crowd, will the institutions simply invent a brand new, even more complex game?
Man, it really makes you wonder. The next time you walk into that casino, who is really watching the cameras? Keep your eyes on the charts, wait for your pitch, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.